The following is a pre-recorded program.
We're about to expose yet another video from Rabbi Tovia Singer.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown here. Delighted to be with us. In a moment, I will be joined with my colleague Jonathan McClatchy, now a resident biologist at the Discovery Institute. He's been a biology professor, and he leads the great website talkaboutdoubts.com. You know, we've done a series, maybe 10, 11 videos so far. We could do hundreds if we had the time, debunking these horrific counter-missionary videos from Rabbi Tovia Singer. And for those that know the word, for those that know Jewish tradition, other things, they're just so easy to demolish. But because there are lots of people on the internet with no background, especially Christians that pick up his stuff, that he does mess with the faith of some. And that's why we're doing our best to say, hey, here, if you want answers, if you want truth, here they are. So we're going to get into a video. Jonathan brought it to my attention. I'd seen it come across my feed. It's like, you gotta be kidding me. Then Jonathan got in the contest. We said, let's just get together and do this. So Jonathan, welcome back to The Line of Fire. Always great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it is a real joy. All right, so folks may not know, but over 30 years ago, Tovia and I did what ended up being an impromptu debate at the house of a Russian Messianic Jew. He had brought us both under false pretenses. We did this debate, and he asked for those tapes to not be released. Then we did a subsequent debate that was hosted on Sid Roth's broadcast that blanketed New York, New Jersey. And then we interacted a lot privately after that, and then he cut me off, has refused to deal with me under any circumstance, has had many opportunities to debate me, and has refused. But actually, last year, he was supposed to debate Jonathan McClatchy. It was interesting. Jonathan's not a Jewish believer, and although he's a seasoned apologist, did not specialize in answering Jewish objections to Jesus. What happened with the debate? You were supposed to debate, and then it got canceled.
Yeah, we were supposed to be debating in Indianapolis last summer in August. The debate was scheduled and everything. And then Tovia Singer had something come up. I think he wanted there was a problem with the venue. Like their heating system wasn't working. And so they wanted to postpone it until their air conditioning, I think it was broken. So they wanted to postpone it. And then Tovia Singer was expecting the birth of his grandson. And so he wanted to wait until after the birth of his grandson so he didn't miss that. And then his grandson was born. And then he announced that he actually didn't want to do the debate after all. So I was a little disappointed it didn't take place. I still write various articles relating to some of Tovia Singer's work. I've read his 2-volume set, Let's Get Biblical, and I am a frequent follower of his YouTube channel.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is he's avoided debating people like me for over 30 years, and there are others like me he's refused to debate. And then he'll find a Christian, maybe debating for the first time, a Christian leader or someone with no background in this, and hold these debates. And then I heard he was going to debate you. I thought, I don't know that he realizes what he's asking for. And my opinion, only an opinion, is he dug a little deeper and found you were not the kind of person he wanted to debate. God knows. But here's what we do know. He puts out these sensationalistic videos with these sensationalistic titles, and you actually get into it. It's like, what are you talking about? So there's one, I didn't watch it. I saw it, you know, don't watch this unless you want to leave Christianity. It's like, oh, this is going to be the new devastating argument. So he starts out, he gets into Isaiah 53. And we're going to play a clip in a moment. But his basic thesis is that if you read the other chapters, Isaiah 40 to 55, read the surrounding chapters, you'll find out Isaiah 53 is not about Yeshua at all. It's not about the suffering Messiah. It's about the people of Israel. So let's listen to this clip.
You know, James, is a very good point. So as it turns out, it's very important if someone wants to remain a Christian to just read Isaiah 53. That's what you want to do. Here's what you don't want to do if you want to be a Christian tomorrow. Don't read Isaiah 41, 42, 43. Don't read the chapters that introduce it. Don't read the whole book of Isaiah. Because if you read the whole book of Isaiah, so I'm just going to point out the verses quickly, 41, 8 and 9, 42, 6, 43, 10, 44, 1, 21, 45, 4, 48, 20. You can see where this is going. This is the fourth of four servant songs. No matter what you believe, it's axiomatic that the author Isaiah had in view that if you're reading Isaiah 53, you've read the chapters that introduce it. So if you are watching me right now, listening to my voice, if you want to remain a member of your church in good standing, do not read Isaiah 41, 8, 9. Don't read Isaiah 49, verse 3, where it says explicitly that Israel is God's servant. Don't read Isaiah 48, verse 20, Israel's God's servant. Just read Isaiah 53. So this is a like a helicopter theology where you just land in the 53rd chapter of a 66-chapter book.
All right, Jonathan, you've written on this extensively. I've written, taught, debated on Isaiah 53 for decades. When you hear that argument, what's your response?
Sure. So Tovia notes correctly that the servant in the book of Isaiah is sometimes identified as the nation of Israel. And he gives a number of examples, which are the same examples he also gives in his Let's Get Biblical, Volume 1. I have an article where I go into this topic extensively on my website, jonathanmcclatchy.com, if anyone is interested in checking that out. I have an article entitled The Treasury of Isaiah 53, A Witness to Israel's Messiah, and I interact in that article extensively with some of Tovia Singer's analysis. I won't go through all of the points that I raised there here, but let me just give you a brief sample. So one of the texts that Tovia likes to cite concerning Israel being the servant is Isaiah 41, verses 8 and 9, where we read, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest corners, saying to you, 'You are my servant, I have chosen you, and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will upload you with my righteous right hand.'" And so this this text reveals actually that far from being saved by Israel's afflictions, those nations who wage war against Israel will in fact be subject to destruction. And this point is borne out in other prophetic texts as well. Jeremiah 30, verse 11, for example, "For I am with you to save you, declares the Lord. I will make a full end of all the nations among whom I scattered you. But of you, I will not make a full end. I will discipline you in just measure, and I will by no means leave you unpunished." Jeremiah 46, 28 is another example. Tovia also cites Isaiah 44, where we read, "But now hear, O Jacob, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen." And then in verse 21, it says, remember these, it's identified, the servant is Israel. But then verse 21 and following, it says, "Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forests, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel." And so we learn that instead of providing atonement for the nations, Israel herself requires salvation from her own sins. All right, and on so on the interpretation that the servant is in fact Israel, this doesn't really comport particularly well with what we read in Isaiah 53, verses 9 and 11. So it says in verse 9 that they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man his death, though he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Or verse 11, "Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." And so forth. And so as you actually read the various texts that Tovia cites, we learn that that in fact Israel is judged for their own sins. They're unrighteous before God. Isaiah 45, 4 is another example he gives. "For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you though you do not know me." But in verses 17 and 20 and verse 21 and 22 of the same chapter, though, we read the following statement. So verse 17, it says, "But Israel is saved by the Lord with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame or confounded to all eternity. Or verse 21, declare and present your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am the God. I am God, and there is no other. So thus, Israel is apparently no better than the other nations, because Israel also is in need of salvation by God.
Yes.
And so it's example after example. As you read the context, you discover that actually these examples that Tobiah likes to cite backfire against his argument by showing that Israel cannot really be the servant spoken of in Isaiah 53.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is when you look, even the rabbinic commentators, and it's fascinating, people that don't know Jewish tradition, they'll believe this rabbi, but this rabbi often contradicts or ignores Jewish tradition, especially when it undermines his argument. So, for example, Radak, one of the so-called big three rabbinic commentators, he says the servant in Isaiah 42 is the Messiah. The Targum, which is the ancient Jewish translation paraphrase of the Hebrew Bible into Aramaic, it identifies the servant there as the Messiah. Or, for example, Isaiah 49 and 50, rabbinic commentaries say that's the prophet Isaiah himself, or prophets in general. And then there are many rabbinic traditions that say the servant in Isaiah 52, 13 through 15 is the Messiah. So in point of fact, you have rabbinic tradition saying Tobiah Singer is wrong, that there are two servants. There is the nation Israel as a whole, and there is the Messiah, the servant of the Lord. And then, as you said, Jonathan, but then as you go through other verses, Israel as the servant is guilty of sin. Israel, the servant, is in exile because of sin. Israel is in darkness and in need of a redeemer. The Messiah as servant does not suffer for his sins. Israel suffers for its own sins. The Messiah suffers for the sins of the people, dies on their behalf, and through his wounds, healing comes. The one servant is in need of redemption. The other servant is the redeemer. The one servant is blind and dumb. The other servant comes to open the eyes of the blind and to set the captives free. One is captive in bondage. The other comes to set the captives free. So what we are shouting out is read the context. Everybody read the context is our best friend. So what Tobiah Singer said, don't read the context. No, it's quite the opposite. We're shouting to the whole world, read the context, because the more you read it, you realize, oh, if Israel's the servant, why is there a need for another servant? Because Israel, as a nation, falls into sin. Even the righteous remnant is unable to save the nation, but there is one among the people, Isaiah 53, 6, where God puts the guilt and sin of the people on him, and he suffers on our behalf that we become righteous. So, as always, the fatal flaw in the videos, they're pretty easy to find. When we come back, we're going to continue exposing this latest fraud from medicine.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of healthy blood flow and how it's enhanced by a miracle molecule known as nitric oxide. You see, blood vessels release nitric oxide, which increases blood flow, known as something called vasodilation. At Trivita, we take blood flow seriously for our members, and we've developed a nitric oxide plus supplement that has been formulated with natural ingredients designed to maximize nitric oxide production in our blood vessels, which increases blood flow. You may be wondering why you don't have as much energy as you used to. One study that I came across revealed that by the age of 40, we only produce about 50% of the nitric oxide production as compared to our 20s. And by the age of 70, the study showed that we're only producing about 15 to 25%. I have good news. As we age, there's another way for our body to increase nitric oxide production, and that's by converting nitrates in vegetables like beetroot into nitric oxide. Bottom line, with more nitric oxide, we stimulate more blood flow to our vital organs and we experience more energy while supporting healthy blood pressure. Trivita's Nitric Oxide Plus has been formulated to increase nitric oxide production and blood flow at every age.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com As a Tryvita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness. This is how
we rise up. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again.